Good morning. Certainly good to have everybody out today. We're going to begin in Jeremiah chapter 25 today. The title of the lesson is My Words Will Stand. We kind of take it for granted, the Word of God, and we say yes. No matter what, His Word is the final say, and it's going to stand. And the lesson this morning is going to come out of Ezekiel. But in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 8, talking to the last two tribes of Israel, the other ten had gone away and never come back. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you've not obeyed my words. Jeremiah's been a prophet for 40 years in Israel. 40 years before the fall. God gave them a chance. And they hadn't obeyed his word. They don't care. Verse 9, behold, I'll send and take all the families of the north, declares the Lord. And I'll send to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, will bring them against the land and against its inhabitants and against all these nations around about. And I will utterly destroy them and make them a horror and a hissing and an everlasting desolation. He's going to get the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. You're going to come up against Jerusalem and the rest of the nations around there. We're just going to get them all at the same time. And we're going to solve this. You know, nobody wants to obey. You know, we're going to cause a desolation. You know, in the irony of all this, he's talking about Jerusalem, is that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, just beat the Assyrians in 612 B.C. Beat the world power. And so he's camping down south in southern Palestine, because he's concerned about them Egyptians down there giving him some grief. So he set up a base so he can run into Egypt and beat them down. A few miles away, Israel's causing him grief. Jerusalem. I mean, if a nation's going to fall, there's got to be a lot of darkness in the leaders. And the king is revolting against him. He's got his army sitting there probably 50, 70 miles away. Well, 606 B.C., he decides that we're just going to carry away the strongest, the bravest, and the smartest of Israel. He carries them away to captivity. Well, that ought to settle it. You know, verse 10, moreover, I will take from them the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. He's going to take away joy. This is not going to be good. Verse, and God knows where this is going. And he's just stating, this is what I'm going to do through Jeremiah. Verse 11, and this whole land shall be a desolation and horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. He knows they're going into exile. Captivity, but he's got a time frame starting at that first wave being carried away, 606. 70 years from then, when the Medes and the Persians take over from the Babylonians, you're coming back, but you're gone for 70 years. Verse 12. Then it'll be when 70 years are completed, I'll punish the king of Babylon and the net nation, declares the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and I'll make it an everlasting desolation. Verse 13, I'll bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, all that's written in this book, which Jeremiah's prophesied against all the nations. I'm going to do it according to what I said, and what's written down in this book this guy here wrote, Jeremiah the prophet. They're going to stand. And I don't care if you rule the world, and whether you're Babylon, Syria, this is the way it's going to be. Well, you come over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, next book to the right. Ezekiel chapter 1. I'm still in the introduction here. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 2. And on the fifth of the month, in the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's exile, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest. Ezekiel, Daniel gets carried away in the first wave in 606. They didn't learn. No, Jehoiachin, the next king of Israel, is going to mess with Nebuchadnezzar again. So we carry a second wave away in 597 B.C. It's 5 years later. Ezekiel is in captivity. He was a priest, but he went with the second wave. Daniel's in the court in Babylon. Ezekiel and all those two waves of exiles are over there. And it's the fifth year. It's 592 B.C. It is 6 years away before we bring down Jerusalem. Nobody's learned anything. You're over in exile. What's going on? Well, look at chapter 2, verse 8. You notice the first point this morning is eat the book. You've been in my Revelation class. I see some smiles. You know what's coming. Well, our class in Revelation is the reverse. If you knew what Ezekiel said and you heard eat the book in Revelation 10, you know what's coming. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8. Ezekiel's preaching to the exiles. The people in captivity. He's there, they're there, God's there. Now, you son of man, listen to what I'm speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I'm giving you. Ezekiel, you don't be like them. You better listen to me. His words are going to stand. He wants him to say what he once said. And so eat the book. Verse 9. Then I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. Verse 10. When he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and the back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. Just like that book in Revelation. We got seven scrolls, a scroll with seven seals, and it's written front and back. And eat the book. When you eat something, it becomes part of you. This message has become part of the preacher, where he preaches it with passion, and he doesn't deviate from it. And at the end of verse 10, the book, what? It's about lamentations and mourning and woe. It's about dying. It's about people weeping because people are dead. And it's about, whoa, 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 bad things are going to happen. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he fed me this scroll, verse 3. He said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll, which I'm giving you. Then I ate it and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Same thing, Revelation chapter 10. Oh, it tasted good at first. But the message about lamentations, mournings, and woe. It's about death and destruction. Oh, at first it sounded good, but this is not going to be good. It's the same point. In chapter 2, verse 3, verse 4. And then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. Verse 5. For you're not being sent to a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel. I'm sending you to the people of God. And they're not foreigners. They can understand what you're saying. We're trying to communicate here. You go to them, people. It's not the issue whether they listen or not. They can understand it. You just go say it. Verse 6. Nor to many peoples of unintelligible speech or difficult language, whose words you cannot understand. But I've sent you to them who should listen to you. If you can understand it, but you don't want to understand it. Why are they in exile? It wasn't because they were good people. And you understand that the destruction of a nation, it takes time. Jeremiah preached 20 years before the first wave of captivity. 20 years of opportunity to change. Words of God. And then the first wave. Does anybody learn anything here? 9 years later, second wave. How many chances do you get? And Ezekiel's over here preaching to the exiles. Just because they got carried away to captivity didn't die don't mean they're righteous people. We're trying to save their souls here. Bad things can happen to them still too, worse than exile. Verse 8, behold, I made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads, like an emery harder than flint. I made your forehead, Do not be afraid of them or be dismayed before them, though they are a rebellious house. I mean, these poor old prophets, you know, you've got to stand up and tell them. They don't want to hear it. They're not going to react nicely. But you've got to tell them, and I made you as hard as they are. You're going to be harder than them. You just wait and see. We're going to get a message across. Verse 11. And go to the exiles and the sons of your people and speak to them and tell them whether they listen or not. Thus says the Lord God. What do I want from you? You go tell them. The issue is not whether they listen or not. It's whether I give them a chance to make an adjustment. Verse 12, then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard a great trumpet, a rumbling sound behind me. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in His place, and I heard a sound of the wings of the living beings touching one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them, even a great rumbling sound. Just like Revelation, nothing new. Verse 13, 14, and so the Spirit lifted me up, and I took me away, and I went embittered in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong on me. And then he comes to the exiles, verse 15, and who lived beside the river Chebar at Tel Aviv. And I sat there 7 days where they were living, causing consternation among them. Just sit down out there. Everybody come by. He gave them grief. I mean, they don't want to do the will of the Lord. And so we go give them grief. And that's what he's doing. But he's trying to get somebody's attention. Verse 16, now it came about at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, I've appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. A watchman sitting there, you know, on the tower watching for enemies sneaking up so they need to sound the alarm to be ready for battle. You're a watchman. You go to warn them when I say warn them. But then, our second point here, the seriousness of doing what you're told. Talking about Ezekiel the prophet. Nobody wants to hear it. Verse 18 and 19, to warn or not to warn the wicked man. Verse 18. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you do not warn him, or speak out to warn the wicked man from his wicked way, that he might live. That's what preaching's about. We're talking about wicked. We'll talk about the righteous in a minute. But if you're wicked, you know what you need to hear? If the Lord said you shall surely die, you know what you need to hear? Something that will get your attention. And he tells him that, you know, here's your opportunity. Middle of verse 18. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. You don't warn him, he's going to die because he doesn't repent, and you're going to die. Do you want to be a preacher in the exiles out here? The warning is giving people a chance. Verse 19, yet, if you've warned the wicked, he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you've delivered yourself. We're talking about the seriousness of doing what you're told. Whether it's a preacher or somebody else, that we kind of, the Word of God, oh yeah, that's just something we listen to every once in a while. Ezekiel, you better listen. You better do what I tell you to do. If you don't, you're going to die too. Well, to warn or not to warn the righteous man. You got righteous people, and they can end up lost too. Verse 20. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him. Righteous man, been righteous a long time. And he turns that way to the wicked world. And God puts an obstacle in his way. Oh, he does that. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Preacher can go home and go to sleep at night. Says what he needs to say. If they have any other attitude, the Lord will make it known to them. Lord's in the business of putting obstacles in people's ways, changing attitudes. Oh, Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, they don't want to do what's right. Then he brings pain, discipline in their life. They don't want to respond right to discipline. We'll put their hip out of joint. You know, we'll bring some more pain. He wants to save somebody. You know, it's easier just to preach the word and people say, yes, I'm wrong and I want to do what's right. Put out 1 Corinthians 11, Lord's Supper. He says, you know, the church in Corinth, why many are weak and sick and asleep? Because they take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. That's why they're in the position they're in right now, because I'm watching and I'm trying to save them so they won't be condemned along with the world. Same thing, God doesn't change. Verse 20. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he shall die. Since you've not warned him, he shall die in his sins, and his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered. There's no amount of good deeds you've done going to make up for wrong when you're guilty. They're not going to be remembered. I mean, David sinned and with Bathsheba and committed adultery, had her husband killed in battle. You know, all the good. When he got convicted, he was guilty. When he admitted it, he knew no sacrifice was going to solve that problem. We weren't discussing his good deeds. We're discussing why you committed adultery with her, why you killed her husband killed. We don't care about your good deeds. And so, you know, you turned away from righteousness, and you know, you turned to wickedness, and all the good deeds ain't going to help you then. End of verse 20. But his blood I'll require at your hand. Verse 21. However, if you've warned the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live doing the will of God. It means you don't die lost. You will surely live. Why? 21. Because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself. Today, most people don't even think the Word of God's the Word of God. Jeremiah, you write it down in a book that they're going to captivity for 70 years, and when the 70 years up, I'll bring them back. Write it down. You know what happened in 536 B.C.? Medes and Persians took over the world. And somebody's reading Jeremiah, and they calculated it's been 70 years. And so they go to the ruler of new ruler of the world. You know what he does? He sends them back, takes a contribution so they can build their temple. Now, who rules the world? They thought they did, but God did. God stating, here's my word. Here's what's going to happen. The devil's role is what? He says, you surely shall not die. You can do wrong. You don't have to listen to God. And there is nothing bad will happen to you. How much did Adam and Eve lose that day? I mean, physically. The environment they lived in. How much loss did they suffer one day? Because they lost sight of his words going to stand. They end up working hard. That's why you and I are struggling to make a living today. That's why childbirth is painful. All because the consequences of not letting my word rule. Well, Israel, you know, if you don't have God's word, you make a lot of bad mistakes, a lot of bad choices. The kings of Israel, they're gonna give grief to the guy that just conquered the world. Any sober thinking can tell you where that's going. So for 20 years, we start carrying away every 10 years till we get fed up with it. Enough. We'll just destroy the whole place. Well, God already stated this is what's going to happen. He knew. And he knew why it was going to happen. We come to the book of Revelation. There's nothing new. I read Ezekiel, 48 chapters. You know how much information it gives you to understand the book of Revelation? Bunches. It's all over the place. Gog and Magog. It pops up. Revelation 20. Yeah, just throws the words out there. That chapter written down in Ezekiel 38-39, it was there for a reason. And God's mind doesn't change. The way he approaches things is the same way. The people that listen, the people that take heed, the people that do his will, they should surely live. If they don't, they want to be rebellious, well, the preaching gets harder on purpose. Boy, the world's a lot better just doing the will of God. It's a new year. You know, it's easy to drift, neglect, But doing the will of God is right. Oh, first century, what happened? The people of God, the same people, they haven't seen God in 5 centuries. They haven't seen a prophet. God hadn't said a word to them. I mean, I think he's upset. There hasn't been a prophet. John the Baptist shows up and he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." That wasn't the first words you wanted to hear. Jesus says, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand." I mean, it's coming here. Not one stone's going to be left upon another. And then it came in the death of Jesus and the opportunity to have all your sins forgiven. People say, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent. Let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." All your sins. With judgment looming on the nation, you can be saved eternally. Oh, they were in a unique position. You know, they're going to lose their nation again in AD 70. It's going down. I mean, if God's word means anything, it's going to be fulfilled. It's going to stand. So, boy, there's a need to come out and be right with the Lord. Well, nothing changes. As time goes on, there comes points where nations fall, where warnings are sent. Who's going to do the will of God? What if God goes silent? What if nobody listens to the preaching? What chance do you have? You need to respond anyway. Won't you come as we stand and sing?